podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
I want to share something today because there was a late change through the week and I didn't think I was sharing. I was like, God, what do I share today? What would you have me share? And as I prayed about it, I really want to share something that's more a devotional word, if that's okay, rather than a teaching, or although I'm a teacher, so it will have teaching in it. But I want to share something that's coming out of my own daily devotional word. I've had this thought that I've been sort of sitting on and meditating through for the best part of probably 2 years. I've got a little note on my phone, and every time I get a thought about it, or God shows me something, or I read something, I just add to it. So today's sermon is brought to you by Brad's iPhone. I'm trying to get into the habit of writing in my journal. There's something powerful about journaling, but I still rely too much on electronics. So I've kind of got half my journal in a written journal. Is anybody feeling the struggle? And half is on an electronic device and half is in a journal. But I do want to talk to you about, or give you a window, if you like, into currently what I'm talking about, which hopefully, if you get hold of this principle or this thought or this truth, will really help you grow this year, will really help you grow in your relationship with God. And when I woke up this morning, and I'm just being very honest with you, when I woke up this morning, I just felt this, just to be completely honest with you, just like an intimidation. Just straight up when I woke up, what is that thing, this sort of feeling, this heaviness? And I think it's because the enemy doesn't want me to share this today. I think he's fairly certainly doesn't want me to share this. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the secret place. I want to talk to you about the secret place, specifically the secret place in God. Before we move to where we currently live, we're in our current place for 12 months. I'll just give you this illustration, which will lead into it. So before we move to where we live now, we lived in Bateau Bay, and we lived in a cul-de-sac. And some of you might have been to that place where we lived before. And it was really good for kids because cul-de-sacs, because they were learning to ride their bikes and there were other kids. And so it's quite good. You can sit out the front and the children can play in the cul-de-sac and generally not be at risk of cars coming, or it's a fairly safe kind of cul-de-sac. They'd ride their scooters and play safely with other kids. But in the cul-de-sac where we lived, across the street, there was this tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but this large tree. And Savannah loved to climb this tree. It was her favorite place to be. And as Willow got older and as she sort of grew up, Savannah began to teach her how to climb the tree. And as a parent, when your kids climb trees, you kind of got that conflict going on between, this is really cool and fun and I climb trees, but at the same time, if you fall, I'm going to need to call an ambulance. But anyway, Savannah absolutely loved this tree. She'd climb it, she'd jump off it, she'd swing off it. She spent so much time up there. I would go across the road, I'd find toys there at the bottom of the tree. Once I even think I found a pillow up in the branch. Like, there were just things up there, buckets hanging, and they spent that right on the tree, and it was just a place that she loved it. And she had this one particular spot in the tree that was quite high, because this tree was quite tall. You really had to look to find her if you wanted to find where she was in the tree. She had this one particular spot, and in fact, as parents, if we couldn't find Savannah, if we called her and she didn't answer, 9 times out of 10, she was in this tree. 9 times out of 10, that's where she was, in this spot up in the tree. And Bruce Poutney, who, you know, would often come on a Saturday to get the keys. Where are you, Bruce? Somewhere at the back there. You would remember this. He would come on a Saturday to get the keys, often for the church or get something. So he'd pull up in the cul-de-sac, and he said he'd always hear this little voice that he couldn't spot going, "Hi, Bruce." And he'd be looking around, and he's like, "Where is this voice coming from?" And it's Savannah perched up in this tree calling down to Bruce. And here she would be up there, sitting like up there like Jackie in this tree. And I once said to her, I said, "Why do you like this tree so much, Savannah? What about this tree appeals to you so much?" And I've never forgotten what she said. Some of the things that she said to me about the tree. She said, "I love that." She said, "It's a place where I can be on my own and not be annoyed with the family." I love that. Can be on my own and not be annoyed. No one can find me up there, and I like the breeze blowing in my hair. And then she said this. She said, "I feel free up there. I feel free. I feel high. I love that spot." And you know, there's no tree like that in our current place, which is much to her disappointment. We do have a pool right now, which I think is more than made up for the tree. However, I tell you this to say that every single one of us in sitting in this building need a secret place. a place to get to, a place to go away to, a place to hide. It may not necessarily be a physical place, maybe it may, but we all need a place to hide. In fact, we all need a place to feel safe and secure in, a place to get alone with God in, a place where you can be really free. And not necessarily just a physical place, but a place where you can hide your heart and hide your soul. You need that. In fact, I've said this before, that your heart, particularly as a believer, is under constant assault. Did you know that? Your heart is under assault all the time. The enemy wants your heart. He's going for what's most valuable. He's currently going for your heart all the time. And you need a place for your soul. And so there is a secret place available in God that I want to speak about. So come with me to Psalm 91. Let me read just four verses of the first verse. In fact, Psalm 91 is the verse or the psalm I always read when I travel. Because some of you may know I get a little bit of anxiety when I go on planes and travel. And last year I had a lot of travel. So I always read and meditate on Psalm 91 when I travel. It's a good one if you do struggle with a bit of anxiety for any reason. But let me read from verse 1 of Psalm 91. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. You find rest in that place. This I declare about the Lord. He alone, underline that word alone. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every disease. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. I love that verse. I love that. That is talking of a secret place. That God has a secret place for you and I to go and run to and hide from life. Because I don't know about you, but in my life, I feel like there's so much that gets thrown at me. There's so much that's demanded from me, whether from people or from circumstances or the responsibilities of life. And if I'm really honest with you this morning, and perhaps some of you would agree, sometimes I just want to run away. Have you ever had that fantasy in life? And maybe it's not the same as mine, where you just think, if I could just get on a plane and buy a one-way ticket and go on Liner Beach in Rarotonga, where these guys just were, but just to go somewhere on a reclusive island with a palm tree where there's no pressure, no expectation, no one's coming for me, no one wants anything from me, there's no bills to pay, no demands, no pressures, no expectations, no pressure to pay bills. I just want to run away. Has anybody had that fantasy? Now, it might not look like exactly or sound exactly like what I'm saying, but all of us have this place that we want to run to at times and going to get away and hide away from life when it gets too much. And the problem with that thought, as wonderful as it sounds and as beautiful as it sounds, it actually will not fix the problem. It won't fix the problem because here's the thing. A lot of what's troubling you and tormenting you right now in life is actually not what is happening around you. It's what is going on within you. For a lot of people, they're trying to run away from themselves. And so even if you get on a plane and go to a deserted island and sit under a tree with no one there, you'll still be there. You can't run away from you. You can't run away from you. It's what goes on the inside. It's the voice on the inside that we're trying to get away from that tells us that we're never good enough. It's our own voice that tells us that we'll never be loved or worthy and we'll never be mount to anything and whatever your narrative inside your brain happens. But we want to run away from life and run away. And the thing is that verse 9 of Psalm 91 says, if you make your God your hiding place. Sorry, verse 1 says, if you make God your hiding place. Or verse 1 of it. But anyway, verse 1 and 9 both say if and those. If and those. In other words, it's not a guarantee, it's a choice. If you make God your hiding place, those who make God their hiding place, in other words, not everyone chooses to run to the right place in life. Not everybody chooses to run to the right place. I know for me, just being honest, that when I feel like I'm dealing with external pressures or internal pressures, I have many times run to the wrong places. Many times. In fact, can I suggest to you that running to the wrong places in life has been humanity's issue since the Garden of Eden. It has been the curse of humanity from the start. God created Adam and Eve in relationship in a garden, a secret place, a secret garden. They messed up, they screwed. God comes walking in the cool of the garden going, where are you? How many of you know God knew where they were? God is God, so he knows where everyone is. The question was, where is your heart? What are you hiding from? And it says they were hiding from God. In other words, they were looking for refuge in the wrong place. And we have been doing that ever since. Now, that sounds theological to you, but maybe your escape this morning is food. Maybe it's food. Maybe that's your escape place. Maybe it's binge watching a Netflix series, although that is acceptable on the odd occasion. If you've got any Netflix series you think are worth watching, and don't suggest The Crown. I do not want to watch The Crown, just so you're saying. Maybe it's watching binge watching TV. Maybe your place of escape is online shopping. That mentioning any names. For some people, it's their work. It's their career. Can I even suggest that even good things like exercise in the gym can be the place that you run to and escape from? Even good things can become bad places if it's the only place you run to and you hide from. Yeah? And here's my escape route. You're thinking, where do you go to, Brad? Now, this is a typical... Have anyone done the Enneagram personality thing? Well, if you haven't done it, do it. But apparently, I'm a 5 on the Enneagram scale. And as I read this, I was like, yeah, that's so insightful. So apparently, 5 personality types, it says that they like to retreat to their own head. They like to go within their own thoughts. And so I realized that's actually been my place of escape. When life gets too much, I just retreat into my own brain. It's so interesting in there. I have amazing conversations, but that's another story for another day. But I retreat to the wrong places. Let's get more serious. Some people hide in blame. Some people hide in self-pity. Some people hide in denial. Whatever your place is this morning, I want to tell you there is a better place. When Elijah was running from Queen Jezebel, when he was under intimidation from the Queen Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, and she'd put the order to kill him, it says that he went on a journey for 40 days and 40 nights to run from what was troubling him. And it says in 2 Kings or whatever it is, he comes to a place in a cave, hiding from what was coming against him. And God says, what are you doing here? Why are you in this place, Elijah? And I feel like God would want to say to somebody today, why are you in that place? Why do you go to there all the time? Why do you run to the place that will never give you the fulfillment and the peace and the safety that you're really looking for? Why do you keep looking for the wrong place? I want to say to you this morning, you will never ever find rest, peace, and freedom in any other place than the presence of God. There is no other place that will give you what it has. You have been created to commune with the divine. You have been created to have communion with God Almighty Himself, and only He will ever fulfill us. And every time we escape to the wrong places in life, we end up robbing ourselves from what our hearts and souls truly need. So I want to encourage you this year to create a secret place in God, a place to escape to, a place to hide your heart and your soul, a place where you can be intimate with God, a place where you can be vulnerable, a place where you can process your emotions and process your fear, a place where you can be vulnerable, 100% vulnerable and transparent, a place where you are completely honest with God. Let's face it, He sees it all anyway. He knows it all anyway. It's not like when you all of a sudden confess something deep and dark, He goes, oh my God, I didn't realize that was going on in your life. There's something powerful when you say, God, yeah, this is it, Lord. I just open up and share with you. A place of acceptance and belonging, a place of joy and contentment, a place of rest, a place of healing, a place of restoration, a place of His presence, the secret place. Even Jesus had a secret place He would retreat to when He needed to get away. Can I read 3 verses to you? Look what it says in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up and slipped out to where? A solitary place. A solitary place to pray. Luke 4:42, early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. Matthew 14:23, after He had sent the crowds away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. Alone. In fact, Andy Taylor and I reckon we sat in a cave that a lot of scholars believe that Jesus might have sat in. When you go to Israel, on the Sea of Galilee, there's the Mount of Beatitudes where He taught the Beatitudes and multiplied the fish and the loaves. And about halfway down the hill is this cave. And it's obviously the cave has been there for centuries. And a lot of historians and Bible experts believe that could have well been a place that He sat in. And so it was just cool to think that, wasn't it, Andy, when we're being like Jesus. In fact, I've got to tell you this funny story. Peter Thompson's not here. So I get up on the last morning because it involves him. It's quite funny. So this cave ride I'm sitting up, and you can walk around the bottom of the mountain with this road, and I'd gone up there before the sun had come up. So it was right on that moment where the sun's breaking through, so it's kind of dark, kind of light. Anyway, I'm sitting up in there praying in this cave, looking over the Sea of Galilee. It was just incredible. So Peter Thompson, who was on the trip with us, he'd gone out for his morning walk. And so when he came back, serious as, he gets me in the when we're having breakfast, and he goes, Brad, he said, I think I had an epiphany. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord in the cave. I looked up and there was an outline. There was a person in that cave up the hill. I think I saw Jesus. Sorry, Pete. You just saw me. True story. True story. It's a true story. I should have just milked it for all it's worth. Did you really? Maybe it was the Lord. But Jesus had a secret place with his Father. In fact, he would never have coped with the demands on his life if he didn't create the secret place, the place of communion. And if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, needed a secret place, how much more do you and I? If he needed one, how much more do we? You have been created. God desires and longs to meet with you in the secret place. Let me just teach you from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. You going okay, church? I'll get into some interesting things soon. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. Let's just read this, what Jesus says about the secret place. And I think it's coming up. He says this. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Go into your room, close the door, and pray in secret. Jesus is literally teaching us about a secret place. In fact, the original word for room, you know what it means? The original definition of the word room means either a storeroom or a secret and well-guarded place. In fact, the New King James Version literally says the secret place. Jesus literally taught to create a secret place of prayer, a secret place of communion and belonging and connection with the Father. He teaches us to have a secret and well-guarded place, a secret place of prayer, a private place that's just you and God. Let me get a little bit more direct. I want to suggest that one of the main differences between someone who is just religious and someone who is a true friend of Jesus is their secret place. It is. Let me give you the differences. Religious people just want to be seen as godly, as long as they're seen to be righteous and holy. But a true friend of Jesus is someone who is more concerned about seeing and connecting with God himself. There's a difference. Religious people are focused on knowing about God. Friends of Jesus want to know God personally. Religious people care more about the approval of people who are seen. Friends of Jesus care more about the one who is unseen and getting the approval of one who is unseen. Religious people want the reward of public recognition. Friends of Jesus want the reward only of private relationship. That's a big difference. That is a big difference. The secret place is the difference. And I want you to notice, church, that there is a reward for the secret place. Notice the Father says there is a reward. The secret place always brings its own reward. That's a message in itself. But Hebrews 11 says that God is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. There is a reward for the secret place. I don't have time to teach on it, but there's a reward of peace, the reward of joy, the reward of contentment, the reward of answered prayer. The most powerful prayer principle you can ever learn is how to meet with God in your private secret place. Amen? And so this morning, I want to give you two thoughts about this, and then we're going to finish up, and I promise I'll go through them quickly in terms of breaking it up and why it's so important that you have a secret place. And here's my first thought is this. You have an enemy of your soul, you know that, and he won't always come against your service, but he'll nearly always come against your solitude. He won't always come against your service, but he'll nearly always come against your solitude. He is opposed to your soul ever drawing close to God. He is absolutely opposed to any human being on the planet coming closer to God. He is more than happy with religious people. He's happy with people who go around appearing godly, but he doesn't want anybody truly knowing God. He's opposed to that on any level. And he is more than happy for you to engage in a whole bunch of religious activity as long as you never create a secret place between you and God. He is more than happy, because it's from the place of intimacy that true fruitfulness flows from. Think about it. There is no intimacy without solitude or privacy. There is no. Think about it from a marital context. Without privacy and solitude, intimacy can't be created. And the Father's goal for humanity has always been intimacy. Intimacy. Into me you see. Father says, I want you to see into my heart for you, for your community, and for those around. And that only comes through intimacy with the Father. I feel like that's my life message, actually. And it's in intimately knowing Jesus that we truly find freedom and rest for our souls. You know that scripture in John 8 where it says, Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I had this thought yesterday. I think it was a Holy Spirit thought, but the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is not just a concept or an abstract idea. Truth is a person, right? You know that. And so he says, you shall know the truth. That word know is gnosko in the Greek. You know what it means? To know by intimate expression. It's to truly know God. So let me write it down this way. I think you could say John 8:32 this way. You shall know Jesus intimately, and by knowing Jesus more, you will become more free than what you ever have before. Think about that. I know this is deep, but this is why it's a devotional thought. Is that Jesus wants you to be intimate with him. But the other big reason is this. The other really big reason, I don't want you to miss this. The other big reason is that the battle is always for the secret place. The battle is always for the secret place. The battle is always for the secret place in your life. Why? Because the enemy also knows that the battle is won in the secret place. The real battles of life are won in the secret place with God, because it is in the secret place where you get breakthrough. Because the secret place is a place of prayer. The secret place is a place in where you are seated in heavenly places, where you're seated with him. It's at the right hand of the Father with prayer and with confidence and with authority. It's in the heavenly places where you get proper perspective to look down and see God's view of what's going on and not just be dictated to by your feelings. The secret place is the place of breakthrough and prayer. The secret place is the place where you pray and your burdens are exchanged for his peace. Prayer is not just a tell God. Prayer is an exchange. Prayer is an exchange. It's an exchange for my burdens for your peace. My worries for your promises. Because the real battle in life is not external, it's internal. It's not external, it's internal. In fact, right now, let me say this boldly, it is not what is happening to you right now, it is what's happening in you. It is what is happening in you. I want you to think about the biggest challenge you're going through right now. Think about what is most difficult right now. Maybe it's a relationship challenge, maybe it's a significant health thing, maybe it's something to do with your job or your finances, whatever it is. Just stop for a second and think about how it's currently making you feel right now. How it's actually making you feel. I want to propose to you that you can't always change what's happening around you, but the battle is for what's going on inside you. It's for what's happening on the inside of you, because the battle is to keep your joy. The battle is to keep your peace. The battle is for your faith. The battle is for your soul and your heart. And the battle is for the secret place. And it's possible to get breakthrough in the secret place long before anything ever changes on the outside. That's the truth. The devil says, no, the external things have got to change for you to ever get happy in your life. That's not true. You can get breakthrough in the secret place. The battle is always for the secret place. Amen. And it's always won in the secret place as the band comes and joins me this morning. This is helping you. It's always for the secret place, church. It's always for the secret place. The devil doesn't want you to draw near. The Bible says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It's in the drawing near that freaks the enemy out. It freaks him out. It absolutely freaks him out. The battle is for the secret place. And as I finish this morning, I'm almost done, and then we're going to pray for some people. I just want to take a little detour for a second. Have you got 5 more minutes, church? Can you go there? I just want to speak to anyone this morning, and maybe you just close your eyes just for a moment as the band comes. I just want you to have a moment. I want to briefly talk to anyone who feels like this morning they're in a hidden place right now in their calling, in your life with God, your calling on your life. Perhaps it's not that you haven't created a secret place with God this morning. It's that right now you feel hidden. You feel like no one sees you or your potential. It's like you've been placed in a dark room. You've been faithful and you've served and you've prayed and you've done all that you know to do, and you've watched and you've seen others be given opportunities. You've seen others be recognized. You've seen others see their breakthrough. You've been faithful. You've waited on God. And yet you wonder when the season of your calling will be revealed or released. I really felt in my heart to encourage that group of people today, because I know what it feels like. I actually know exactly what that feels like, to go through a season in life and to feel like everyone else around you is being recognized and released, and to not be seen. To not be seen. I know what it is to be anonymous. I know what it feels like to not be seen by the right people, but yet have this calling that's burning on the inside. And in 2008, I was in the middle of that exact season. I'll spare you all the details, but suffice to say, I was majorly discouraged, majorly discouraged. And as I drew near to God in the secret place, because that is the key to you coming through the hidden seasons, is to draw near to God in the secret place. That is the absolute key to getting through. And as I poured out my heart to God in the secret place, He spoke to my heart clearly one night, I'll never forget, from Isaiah 49, and I want to declare this over you because perhaps this could be a word for some of you today. He said this to me, verse 2. He made my words of judgment and sharp as a sword. In other words, Brad, I see the preaching gift on your life. I see the communication gift. That's the calling I have for you, to be a communicator. But the next verse says, He has hidden me in the shadow of His hand. I am like a sharp arrow in His quiver. I've hidden you for this season. I've hidden you in my quiver. It's not that you aren't an arrow. It's not that I'm not prepared to use you. It's that for right now, I have you in a hidden place, because if I release your calling before it's time, it'll destroy you. And God is more responsible with your calling than what you think He is. God will never allow anyone to go to a place where it takes away from relationship with Him. He will never let you get to a place where your character can't sustain it. There's no way I could do this, and this is not a big platform at all, but there's no way I could even stand here this morning and do what I'm doing if it were not for the hidden seasons. Because it is the hidden seasons. Think about when you plant a seed in the ground. For the seed to germinate, it must survive the dark, hidden seasons. Because it's the hidden seasons where God does His most valuable work. And if you can come through the hidden season, the dark season, the season of confusion, the season that feels so unfair, the season that makes no sense, if you can come through that season, God says, I can trust you in the public season. And as I finish this morning, I know I've got your eyes closed, but maybe you want to write this down at the end of the service. This is what God said to me. Public power comes from private surrender. Public power comes from private surrender. The more yielded you become to God in the secret place, the more God's power will be upon you for the public places. Because God is far more interested in who you are in the unseen than who you are seen by people. It's who you are when nobody's looking that matters to God. God wants congruency. That's a word. Alignment between who you are in the secret place and who you present to the world.